morning. Today is Monday, February the 8th, and we are live for another Closet Conversations with Cody. I'm excited to be here. It is 8:31 in the morning, and boy, do we have a word for today. Amen. Who's excited for another Monday? It's another Monday. It's another week. So I'm excited to be able to be here with you. I always look forward to Mondays. I always look forward to Mondays because I get to come and be with you. I get to start my morning off the way that I am supposed to start my morning off, by seeking His face and knowing His heart. Amen and amen. Well, before we hop in, you know the routine. I've got to talk about my weekend, and I'm sure most of you have experienced the snowmageddon that happened here in Georgia. So that was pretty crazy. I woke up Saturday morning, you know, they were anticipating a couple inches of snow, and I looked out and nothing. I woke up, nothing, 8 o'clock, nothing. I'm like, really? Come on, weatherman, you have one job. And sure enough, I go out to an appointment, and my wife says, Cody, that's not smart. Listen, men, listen to your wives. Listen to your wives. That's a tidbit. It's a free piece of advice. That's not in the notes. Listen to your wives. And so I go out, and on my way back, it starts really snowing. I barely make it home. And, you know, thankfully I have a good car that handled the snow well, but it was intense. It really was intense. And we made it home. And then, you know, I went down to the beginning of our neighborhood because we're at a pretty slight incline on the hill. And when I was coming home, barely made it home because of all the accidents that had happened right there on the hill. So went down and helped direct traffic and push people up the hill and made sure everyone was safe. And so thankfully there were no accidents, and everything worked out the way that it should. So praising God for that. And then yesterday was our 2-year anniversary for the North Georgia Revival. And you know, they shared a video last night of just a recap of everything that we've experienced in the last, really the year of from February 10th, 2019 to February 10th last year. And I said the date wrong. Today's the 11th. I apologize. Or today's the 10th. But anyway, 2-year anniversary. And they showed that video last night. And I teared up because when I first heard about the revival, and you know, when I say hear about it, I'm at the church where the revival is. I was not an active participant. I did not go or start going until the middle of August. And that is when my life radically changed. That is when Closet Conversations was birthed, because I chose to go to the North Georgia Revival. And I look back from August 22nd, 2018 to February 10th, 2020, and my life is completely different. And it made me tear up because where I was, I thought I knew God. I thought I knew the deep things of God. I thought I didn't need to go to revival service. Who wants to give up a Sunday night? That was my family time. That was the time that I go out to eat with my family and see my brothers and my mom. Who wants to give that up? And after a while, though, when you start seeing the moves of God and the Spirit pour out and lives changed, and now my marriage is better than ever, and I'm at a deeper relationship with God. So, you know, I thank God for the leaders and the pastors and all of the volunteers that serve tirelessly, especially the ones that don't get any of the glory, the ones that are behind the scenes, like our media crew that document everything, all of our photographers. My wife is the leader of the photography team. We are not going to get the footage. We're not going to get the live stream unless we have people like Ty and Garrett and all of our camera guys. I mean, all of these people go unnoticed. They don't know. They're not on the spotlight. You know, we only see the pastors in the worship band, but it's all of the volunteers that greet people with a smile, that greet people with a warm welcome, that serve in the baptistry in the back as they're coming out just broken and having an encounter with God, that are helping them down the stairs, that are wrapping a towel around them, that are holding them in the water, that are praying with them. God sees each and every one of you, and you are pleasing to him, because as you serve those people that are coming to the revival, you are serving him. It reminds me of the verse where Jesus says to the disciples, when you take care of the least of these, you are taking care of me. Amen. Amen. So if you haven't been to the North Georgia Revival, come be my guest. We are starting year three now. So next week, we're going to have an incredible service as always. Just some of the testimonies, and you've heard me share. Last night, we had a lady that flew in from the West Coast. She's been battling stage 3 cancer, and so she got baptized. We've had stage 4 breast cancer healed. We've seen, just miracle after miracle, deaf ears open. God is just pouring out. So, beloved, if you haven't been, be my guest. Amen. Send me a message. I will save you a seat. I will get you to the front of the line if you want to be baptized and meet God in the water. All right, without further ado, we are going to hop into today's message. And as you see from the title, we are talking about the power of life and death in your tongue. Well, it's really the power in your tongue, but that's what we're going to turn to. So go ahead and get your Bibles out. We're going to turn to Proverbs 18:21, and then we're going to kind of unfold everything that God has really been showing me in the last 2 months. And so Proverbs 18:21, it says in the NLT, it says, the tongue can bring death or life. Those who love to talk will reap the consequences. And so, beloved, I've been chewing on this, like I said, for months, but really it goes further back than that. It started in November, October 2016, when I attended a class that really was about mindset. Now, this was a secular class, and it was really didn't have any kind of foundational Christian principles in it, but it was pulling, this business class was pulling from a lot of the biblical principles. And so we're going to talk about why the tongue has so much importance, and why in Proverbs Solomon said that you can have life or death because of your tongue. And so I wanted to start out with, obviously, with that verse, but talk about how the enemy works. And before we talk about how the enemy works, I want to clarify and justify and really show you examples from the Bible of how the tongue has power of life and death. So before we hop in to talk about how the enemy works, I want you to look at this verse. So go to Genesis. We're going to go all the way back to the beginning. We're going to go to Genesis 1. We're going to specifically look at verses 3 and 4. It says, then God said. Then God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. Then he separated the light from the darkness. So we see all the way back to the beginning, how did God create the world? He spoke it into existence. Now, some of you may say, well, Cody, that's God, that we're not God. I'm not saying that you are God. I am showing you how important the tongue is and how important the words that we choose that come out of our mouths have consequences. So if we go back all the way to the beginning, we see that God spoke the entire world into existence. Now, he formed Adam and Eve from the dust, and he blew breath on them, but he spoke the world into existence. And then going back to the life and death, so the enemy walks around, and it talks about in 1 Timothy that he walks around as a lion, looking to devour any of those that he can. So when we go to, and he's a legalist, he knows that we covered this last Monday with unforgiveness and bitterness. He knows the law. He knows the Bible better than we know the Bible. Even the top theologian, the top person that listens to the Bible, you know, in 2 weeks, David Hogan, he knows the Bible better than David Hogan. He is a legalist. So he stands, and it talks about in Revelation that he stands accusing the brethren. What does he accuse the sons and daughters of? Well, he accuses and he uses, he has legal right when we use our words to speak life or death. Now, if we go back and look at that, the tongue can bring life, death, or life. It's not and, beloved. It's not and. You can't speak death and life out of your mouth. You cannot use words that bring death and bring life. Contrary to what you may believe, those jokes, those coarse jokes, oh, I was just kidding after, you cannot speak death and life out of your tongue. It is or. It is a conjunction. It's or. It's either death or life. So what God is after today, beloved, he is after our words, because the enemy is sitting there. And when we speak death over ourselves, which I was so guilty of, many of you that are watching this are guilty, and you're not realizing what you're saying when you're saying it. Maybe you do. Maybe that's what you've been told. So you're repeating what you've been told, but you are speaking death over yourself. Well, I can't do this, or I am not good enough, or I fill in the blank. Whatever you are speaking, whatever you add voice to, now what is going to happen is the enemy is going to be able to hold that against you. I'm just a cheater. My dad was a cheater. My grandfather was a cheater. He cheated on their wives. So I'm just a cheater. That's all I am. You are confessing that. You are speaking death over yourself. Well, my wife's not good enough. My children's not good enough. My children are not good enough. I'm not a good enough boss. I'm not healthy. I have issues. All of those things, you are speaking death. And because you are speaking it out, now what the enemy does is he'll come in there and he'll grab it and he'll say, God, you heard them say with their own mouth, they confessed it. Now I can hold them to what they spoke. Some of you are thinking, there's no way, Cody, you're off your rocker. I don't believe what you're saying. Beloved, I'm here to break that mindset up. I'm here to break that ground up. I am here as a deliverer of the word of God to say that it is time to stop speaking death from your tongue. It is time. It is time for us to change our words that come out of our mouth to speaking life. Let me share a few verses with you. This is straight from Jesus. So get your Bibles. We're going to go to Matthew. We're going to go to Matthew 15. Then Jesus called to the crowd to come and hear. Listen, he said, and try to understand. It's not what goes into your mouth that defiles you. You are defiled by the words that come out of your mouth. He is speaking to Pharisees where they're trying to accuse him of eating with people and eating food that hasn't been blessed and eating food that's not kosher and eating food that doesn't fall under the Levitical law. And that's when Jesus says, it's not what goes in your mouth that defiles you. It's what comes out. It's the words that come out that defile you. It's the words that you speak that have death in them, even a death undertone that come in or that come out. And then the enemy is waiting. He's waiting for us. He is waiting for us to speak death over ourselves. He is waiting. Listen. He is waiting for us to curse ourselves so he can uphold the curse. He is waiting for us to curse ourselves so he can uphold the curse. Beloved, Jesus came to be the curse. This is what it says in Ephesians. Those who hung on a tree are cursed. Jesus came to be the curse. We don't have to curse ourselves. We are broken from the curse. We are freed from the curse. But we defile ourselves. We curse ourselves. And then the enemy holds it to us. He has legal right. He has legal right. Just like we talked about last week. If we have a tag light out, if we have a brake light out, if we have a turn signal out, the police officers have legal right. They have probable cause to pull us over and to investigate. The enemy is no different. I'm not saying police officers are the enemy. Don't misconstrue what I'm saying. What I'm saying is they have probable cause, meaning they can pull you over and then they can investigate. The enemy is waiting for you to confess and for you to curse yourselves. And then he can start going to work. Now listen to another one, Matthew 21:21. It says, then Jesus told him, I tell you the truth. If you have faith and don't doubt, you can do things like this and much more. You can even say to this mountain, may you be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and it will happen. We've covered both sides now. We've covered what defiles comes out. We're defiled by what comes out. But now we see Jesus telling the disciples, saying that if you will say to this mountain, be lifted up and cast into the sea, you can do it. Why? Because Jesus knows how important the tongue is. Jesus was there when God created the world. Jesus was there when he saw that God spoke the world into existence. Jesus was there when wisdom gave Solomon Proverbs 18:21 that says the power of death or life is in the tongue. Jesus knew that we were going to need this. Jesus knew how important our words are. That we can literally create life. We can tell the situation that's standing in front of us to bow down to the mighty name of Jesus Christ. We can tell that situation to be uplifted and cast into the sea. We have the same power that Jesus had. Jesus cast out demons and healed people by his words. He said, be healed, get up, take your mat and go. Jesus told the demon of the Gerasene that was afflicted with legion. He said, go in Jesus' name, go into the herd of pigs. We have power of death or life in our tongue. Are you getting it, beloved? Are you getting it? Because if you're not getting it, I've got one more verse. And this is going to rock us. It rocked me last night when I read it. And I've always been fascinated with the tongue. Because so many people want to talk about prosperity, or they want to talk about how to feel good, or they want to talk about they're either feel good prosperity, or they're borderline legalistic in the law. We need both. We need both. It's a balance. We need the law because the law shows us that we're sinners and that we need Jesus. And prosperity is not bad because God wants us to prosper. Look at the parable of the talents. He wants us to prosper. The person that was given the five got more because he was faithful with it and obedient with it. There's nothing wrong with prosperity, and there's nothing wrong with the law, but it's when you go to the extreme that all of a sudden we're missing Jesus, because Jesus is right there in the middle of it. Turn your Bibles in James. We're going to go to James 3. James 3. We're going to pick up at verse 6, and we're going to read to verse 12. And among all the parts of the body, the tongue is a flame of fire. It is a whole world of wickedness corrupting your entire body. It can set your whole life on fire, for it is set on fire by hell itself. People can tame all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and fish, but no one can tame the tongue. It is restless and evil, full of deadly poison. Sometimes it praises our Lord and Father, and sometimes it curses those who have been made in the image of God. And so blessing and cursing, death and life, come pouring out of the same mouth. Surely, my brothers and sisters, this is not right. Does a spring of water bubble out with fresh water and bitter water? Does a fig produce olives or a grapevine produce figs? No, and you can't draw fresh water from a salty spring. What James is saying here, beloved, is that the tongue is one of the most important parts of your body. Now you say, well, Cody, what does the tongue do? It hurts when I bite it. It hurts when I'm chewing and I bite down. And that's not where the tongue is the most important part of the body, of the spiritual body. Why? Because we just saw that out of it come blessing and cursing. That the tongue is the most difficult thing to tame. Why? Because if we are not taming the tongue, we are doing exactly what Proverbs said. We're speaking death or life. And then I was reading a commentary last night that we're talking specifically about the tongue and about the believer. We're not talking about the unsaved, the unbeliever. That's not who James is talking about here. James is talking about you and me. He's talking about the sons and daughters of God. He is talking about the ones that claim to know Jesus as Lord and Savior, that claim to walk the walk that Jesus did and talk the talk. But we are being found that we're speaking death and life. We're speaking cursing and blessing over the people that God created. Go back and look at it. It says, and so blessing, sometimes it curses those who have been made in the image of God. How many times, and I'm raising my hand, how many times have we as Christian brothers and sisters said something, said a joke about somebody? Well, you're looking rough today. Or did you forget your makeup today? And then, I'm just joking. We are literally sowing into that person. We are using our tongue to curse somebody. And that's a soft example. You know what I'm saying. Let's go to a more extreme. How about someone cuts you off in the church parking lot and you curse them? It may not feel like a curse because it's how you normally talk. But man, I wish that person would drive off a cliff just because they cut you off in traffic. Or maybe someone at your job is treating you bad, and then you're going and spread rumors. You're using your tongue to spread curses about somebody, and it may or may not be true. Are they made in the image of God? They may not be a believer. They may not be a brother and sister in Christ, but they're made in the image of God. So hear me. We are speaking curses over those that are made in the image of God. What are we supposed to do? We are supposed to declare the gospel. That's what we're supposed to use our tongue for. We are supposed to edify. In Ephesians 4:29, let your tongue be used to edify, building up, not tearing down. That is helpful to the believer. Why? Why are we using our tongue to tear down those that are in desperate need of a savior? Why are we using our tongue to tear down our brothers and sisters that struggle? Just because their sin is visible. And your sin is invisible. Your sin is hidden in a closet. What gives you the right to tear them down and to curse them? Beloved, we have the power. We have the power to loose heaven over the people that are in our lives. We have the power to loose the blessings of God. We have the power to loose the goodness of God over the people that God brings us in contact with. Remember what it says in Romans. It says that the goodness of God draws men to repentance. How can you use your tongue? How can I use my tongue? I am not condemning. I am not condemning. Don't think that I'm speaking to you. How can I use my tongue to curse somebody when I am called to bless? That's what we're after. That's what God's after, beloved. He just wants us to work on taming this. He wants us to tame this. We're not going to get it right all the time. There are times when I waste my words, and Christiana will come in and say, Cody, you just wasted your words. And I'm like, you're right. And what do? I repent. Lord, I missed it. Forgive me. I cancel those curses. I cancel the words that I just used against somebody. But today is a great day, February 10th, 2020. Today is a great day for you to start being cognizant and aware of the words that are coming out of your mouth. God is over. He's been over, but he's over these Christians that claim that they love Jesus, but then they curse their brother. Do you know what a curse is? Do you know what a curse is? Obviously, a curse is the opposite of a blessing. But a curse, when you speak a curse, that's what the Church of Satan does. They speak curses. They speak seances. They speak negative against us. That's what the Church of Satan does, beloved. They speak curses against the children of God. Why? Because if they can speak a curse over them and the Christian believer is unaware that they have been cursed, then God is not able to operate until someone comes along and says, you've got to break that curse off of yourself. I am not saying that you are operating in the kingdom of darkness. What I'm saying is that I'm bringing a reality into your world. I'm bringing a reality and shining light into something that is so important, but most people don't talk about. Do we really want to be like Satan and curse those that we're called to bless? We don't. I don't. It's a wake-up call. Today's a wake-up call for you to say, no more. No more will I use my tongue to curse. No more will I use my tongue to cut down and to tear down. No more will I gossip about my brother and sister in Christ. No more will I badmouth the pastor and leadership of my church. No more will I condemn those that have a better life than what I appear to have right now. No more. I will choose today to bless those. I will choose to speak to my mountains and say, mountain, move in the name of Jesus, be cast into the sea. No more will I let myself be defiled by the words that I choose. Amen. Amen. Thank you for listening to that. Hopefully that made sense. It, like I said, I've been chewing on it for a long time and I still miss it, beloved. Give yourself grace today. Give yourself grace this week. You're going to miss it. I miss it. The best people that have been with Jesus the longest still miss it. But the beautiful part is that when you become aware of it, it's going to be easier to catch. Just like capture your thoughts, like it talks about in 2 Corinthians, where we're supposed to capture our thoughts, it will become easier. It will become more natural for you to only speak life out of your tongue. And guess what? If you've spoken curses and if you've spoken death over somebody, repent. Ask for forgiveness. We're going to close out today with a confession prayer, asking God to forgive us for any curses, any hexes or vexes, anything that we've spoken over somebody in jest or in seriousness. We're going to confess that, and we're going to ask God to forgive us. And guess what, beloved? He will forgive us. He is faithful to forgive us once we confess. And when we confess, now listen, when we confess, we are going to our defense attorney, Jesus. And now Jesus is going to be able to take it to the judge, God Almighty. And now the accuser is going to be silenced. He can no longer operate in curses after we've confessed it and covered it by the blood of Jesus. Amen? Amen. So let's go ahead and close out in prayer. We are at another 30-minute video. Praise God for those that are watching, that are listening, that have already shared this. Thank you. Thank you. Not from me. Not from me. This word needs to get out. God is ready for the sons and daughters to take their righteous place, to take their place in authority in the kingdom of God. So by you listening to this, by you sharing this, you are becoming a better warrior for the kingdom of heaven. Amen. So let's pray. What we're going to do is you're going to confess this. And it's a great confession, whether you've done it or not, whether you're using your tongue and you've got the most tame tongue this side of Georgia, it doesn't matter. We're going to confess it like it's us. And then we're going to thank God for forgiving us. Amen. So it goes like this. Father, we thank you. We thank you for being a good father. We thank you for your word that was released today. Lord, I thank you that I learned today that the power of death or life is in my tongue. Father, I thank you that I have learned today that I can bless or I can curse with my tongue. Father, I ask for forgiveness for using my tongue to curse and to cause death over your sons and daughters. Lord, forgive me for any curses that I've spoken against other people. And Father, forgive me for cursing myself. Lord, I repent. I did not know what I was speaking to curse myself. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I break off every spoken curse over my life. I cancel those in the name of Jesus. I cancel all vexes and hexes and spells that have been cast against me by the kingdom of darkness. I declare them broken off of my life in the name of Jesus. Lord, I declare that from this day on, that I will use my tongue to glorify your kingdom, to glorify your name, and to bless your sons and daughters that you have placed in my path. And Father, I thank you for hearing my prayer. I thank you, Lord, for breaking off everything that is not of you, and I receive your blessings. Father, I receive the life that has been given to me and promised to me because of Jesus Christ dying on a cross. Lord, I thank you and I praise you. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Beloved, you are free. You are free. Who the Son sets free is free indeed. Now go and walk in your freedom. You go and speak life to those people. You go and speak life to those that need life, that are being bombarded with death from the enemy. Amen. Amen. Have a wonderful day. We will see you next Monday. I'm praying for you. I bless you in the mighty name of Jesus. Have a wonderful week.